Could we turn, please, to the paraphrases? It's paraphrase number 32. Now, you'll find that on page 156. So it's page 156, and it's the paraphrase number 32. It's based on Habakkuk 3. The reason I've chosen it is, I believe it is associated with the message this morning. The background to this paraphrase, in other words, it's basically the words of that passage, is that there have been agricultural disasters in agricultural community. The herds had failed, the flocks, the crops, bankruptcy, but yet they were able to rejoice in the Lord. So it's paraphrase number 32, what though no flowers the fig tree clothe. Let's stand and sing.
What though no flowers the fig tree clothe,
come, please, before the Lord together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that the Lord is our song, He's our strength, He's our salvation. We thank Thee for these words that we've been singing, these words of confidence, these words of faith. And Lord, we're only graphically reminded how easier it is to sing the song when everything is going well. But Lord, we're reminded that this was written when everything seemed to have collapsed around the people of God in that age. And we thank Thee for the faith that they were enabled to have in the Lord. And Father, we come before Thee for help in time of trouble, knowing that Thou art the God of Jacob, that Thou art a refuge in time of storm. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast been a refuge in the midst of our sins, because Lord, who could we go to? We were lost. We were headed for destruction. We had no hope. But oh, we thank Thee that in the midst of our bankruptcy, spiritually condemned, we thank Thee that Thou didst provide a Savior. We thank Thee for the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we praise Thee for Him. We ask Thee that Thou would enable us to adore Him and to worship Him, that our thoughts would be taken up with the glory and beauty of our wonderful Saviour. And Lord, we asked for those in the congregation and indeed connected with the congregation and friends who are going through an experience such as we've been singing about. O Lord, that Thou would be their help at this time, that Thou would enable them to rejoice in the Lord, enable them to look away to Christ. We thank Thee that nothing can separate us from Thy love. We praise Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast proved Thy love at Calvary. Enable Thy suffering saints to look to the cross and to the Saviour. Lord, we pray as we bow before Thee that Thou be forgive us our sins. May we be in that place of fellowship with Thee. We pray for a sense of Thy presence this morning among us. We ask Thee, O Lord, for help from the throne. We ask Thee, O Lord, that our hearts would be revived within us. We praise Thee that we do have the precious Word of God. Father, it's a living Word. But we realize, except the Holy Spirit come and make the Word of God living to us, then we'll read it just as the dead letter of the law. But Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit would take the living Word of God and that the Spirit of God would make it live in each one of our hearts. And for every child of God, that the Word of God would be like that seed that grows into the fruitfulness in our lives. We pray, O Lord, the Word would come with comfort and with power. Lord, may it convict those who know not Christ as Savior and even bring conversion. Remember every aspect of the work in the congregation. We lay it lovingly before Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be pleased to bless the efforts in these days. Add to the testimony we ask of Thee. And then, Lord, we do bring before Thee the sick. We pray, Lord, that Thou would comfort them. Those that we know of who are ill, we can mention so many in our own congregation, but Lord, we remember Mrs. Jill Lockhart especially so ill at this time. Lord, we thank Thee she's Thy child. We thank Thee, Lord, she knows and loves Thee. The marks of grace in her life. But Lord, just draw near. Give her ease from pain and bless the family and guide the doctors. And we leave her in Thy loving care. And for the others, Lord, we collectively hold them up before Thee. And be, Lord, be gracious to them, we ask. And Lord, Thou knowest the desires of our heart, that Thou would raise them up to better physical health and strength. But Lord, we thank Thee we can come to Thee and simply pray, the ones whom Thou lovest are sick. Draw near and bless. Comfort those that mourn, we ask of Thee. Remember Brother Stanley on the passing of his brother. Comfort him and the family circle. We pray, Lord, for the various congregations and the meetings that are taking place today and throughout the week. Remember the graduation tomorrow of the college. Bless, we pray. And so, Lord, now close us in with Thyself. Do us good this morning in Thy house, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 465, please. 465, please. In our hymn book, 465, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. 465. Let's stand. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Thank you. of Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We're coming to the end of the chapter. Go a little bit quicker in these last verses. You'll see even reasons for that as we read the verses. The writer felt like that when he was writing it. Hebrews chapter 11, just when you're turning to it. We're saying in the Bible class this morning, today is a very important day in the history of Korean churches. I've been in Korea twice. It's an amazing country. Of course, the peninsula is divided into two. There's North Korea, which is one of the most evil dictatorships on this planet. It's estimated there are 1 million soldiers in their army. It's estimated there are 1 million people in concentration camps, forced labor camps. Christianity, of course, is outlawed. An awful dictatorship. But South Korea is very prosperous, 20 million people. It's estimated there are 60,000 Protestant churches, the vast, vast majority evangelical fundamental. Amazing. South Korea sends out more evangelical Protestant missionaries than any country in the world except the United States. I know there's still some people think, oh, Far East, they must need missionaries. They're actually missionaries to Britain. That humbles us, doesn't it? Over on the mainland. Missionaries in Kenya. You ask our missionaries when you're out there, they'll tell you they're Korean missionaries back into Kenya. When we were there in 2003, the church we attended had missionaries in many, many parts of the world, a long list of different countries, and they were taking an offering that morning for Christians in Iraq. That was way back in 2003. Amazing country, but 150 years ago today, September the 13th, was the first time a Protestant missionary set foot in Korea. And he came there dressed as a Korean. He'd been a missionary to China, a Welshman, Richard Thomas. He brought with him some Chinese Bibles. He was there for 2.5 months. He distributed those. He had learned a little bit of the Korean language. He tried to learn some more. The next year he went back with on a ship. There were some sailors and so on. The ship was attacked. He too was killed. One of the Bibles he had with him on that occasion, it was in Chinese, but they plastered the wall of a house, used it like wallpaper. Later on, a church was formed in that room. People used to come and read the word. Thank God for the word of God. What power it brought in that nation of Korea through bringing the precious word of God. We pray today the word will have the same living effect on us today. Well, we're reading in Hebrews 11, and we're reading from verse 32, from verse 32. And just before I read it, I want to leave two questions in your mind. All right, just before we read the verse, two questions. Who had more faith? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went through fire and weren't burnt? Or John Huss and others who were burnt at the stake? Or, we're going to read here, of those who escaped the mouths of lions? And what about those in the early church who were eaten by lions? Which group had the most faith? Which group had the most faith? Well, let's read from verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We know God shall bless this reading of his own infallible word for his own glory. Welcome you all to the service this morning, those visiting with us, and we welcome Mr. and Mrs. McElroy this morning, David's parents with us, and very welcome with us before, of course. Then tonight, could I mention the building fund today? Building fund, then tonight at 6:30, the prayer meeting, 7:00, the evening service, if you remember that, please. Tomorrow night in Macrofelt, there's the graduation and commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible. It acknowledges those who have finished their training. Some young men will be licensed to the Christian ministry. It means they're eligible for a call to our congregations. That's at 8:00 up in Macrofelt. The college does recommence tomorrow. I'll be there on the Wednesday. It's a meeting in Martyrs Memorial for a year or two while thought is given to a location that would be more amenable to the future development of the Whitfield College. So please remember that meeting if you're free tomorrow evening in Macrofelt. Sessions meeting on Tuesday night, Wednesday night the prayer meeting. Then on Friday night, and there's a few cards there in the porch, there's a missionary rally over in Ballygowan. Ballygowan Church at 8 p.m. Reverend David Park will be speaking at that. The representatives of the Missionary Council go to that meeting as well. There will be refreshments afterwards, and do remember that, please, that missionary meeting Friday night, 8 p.m. in Ballygowan. You'll be made very welcome. Next Sunday, remember the services as usual, Sunday School Bible classes, preceded by prayer, 11:30 and 7. At night, Jim Watson's going to testify at the evening service. It's been a while since we've had a testimony, so I thought we'll have one of our own. And I know some of the younger ones haven't heard Jim giving his testimony before, and so Jim's going to give his testimony next Sunday evening. So do come along, tell others about it, and you'll enjoy that time. I'll be here, of course, too, in that. Now, next Sunday evening, we'll have the service over in good time, but next Sunday evening after the service, for those who are able to wait, we want to have a time of prayer, special time of prayer for the children's work. That would be the Sunday school, the children's meetings. There will be a mission the last week of the month, from the Monday to Friday, with Mr. Chris Killen. But next Sunday evening, we do want to meet for a time of prayer after the evening service. And of course, in that week after that, there'll be helpers needed to give out the invitations around the door. So please remember that. Also, of course, including that, the youth fellowship, as it will later recommence. So especially for the children's and youth work of the church, let's meet as a congregation and just pray for God's guidance and help. So that's next Lord's Day after the evening service. The harvest will be the first week in October, first Sunday in October, October the 4th. If you remember that, please, last week's offering, £1,334.10. And there's various magazines there as well. Anyone interested in membership, there are cards there in the porch if you want to take one there and have a read at it and see us. And we do express sympathy to Stanley. I understand brother has passed away, and our sympathy does go out to our brother Stanley. Well, let's turn in our hymn book, please, as we worship the Lord with our offering. And we're going to turn to a lovely hymn, 482, please. 482, based on the experience where Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, 482. He saw the potter making the vessel that was marred, and then he remade it, worked it again. And so the hymn 482, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hymn number 482, please.
Have thine own way.
Well, could we open our Bibles, please, at Hebrews 11? It's been over a good number of weeks that we have done this. I want you to go down, please, the chapter. And let's go to verse 39. To verse 39 to take as our text. Hebrews 11 and verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this chapter. We remember the reason why it was written, to encourage these early believers and indeed us not to draw back, but no matter how difficult times may seem, to keep going on with the Lord, to hold fast our Christian profession, our testimony. Lord, as we look at this particular verse and in this passage, Lord, guide us and bless us, we pray. Remember those again going through trials. Lord, draw near and bless them, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen. And these all, having received a good report. It's always satisfying to receive a good report. A stars. Well done, because you have done well. It says in this verse 39, these all received a good report. Wasn't a school report. Wasn't any other type of report that we think of. It was a report, a good testimony from God. Can anything be better than that? To hear from Almighty God, well done. Well done. Well, every one of us in this building this morning can have such a report. Yes, you. Every one of us. You can receive a good report from God. Because we're told they received it through faith. Through faith. It wasn't because they had superior intellect or greater academic ability. They received this report through faith. These all, who are the these all? They're the names we have looked at over these past weeks, and we have taken generally a week on each name. Moses, we took a little bit longer because there are more verses upon his life. These all, and of course the men and mentioned in the verses, there were women mentioned earlier, of course, Rahab and Sarah, but in verse 32, there are men mentioned. I like verse 32 in that it says, What more shall I say? Well, that's why I'm going to be brief this morning and cover all these names in one service. Because that's what the writer said here. In verse 32, he went on and said, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon of Barak. Well, I could have went and taken a week on Gideon and a week on Barak and a week on Jephthah. But I thought, well, we've taken long enough going through these other people. It would be profitable to take each one of them. And of course, they're recorded in the Old Testament. It's good to study their lives. But like the writer of Hebrews here, I would say in our present study, time would fail me. We've run out of time. We've covered a lot. So we'll just take the names briefly, just the way the author here emphasized that time failed him. There are two groups mentioned in these verses. Two groups. I want you first of all to think of the first group. The first group. And they're mentioned beginning in verse 32. Their names are mentioned of Gideon and so on. And in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and the won great victories. This first group, through faith, they believed the promises of God. And they believed in the power of God. That's the key. They believed in the power of God and they conquered in the struggle. They believed in the power of God. In other words, they had faith, through faith. They had faith in the power of God and were enabled to conquer in the struggle. They were able to accomplish great victories. And the interesting thing is, what unites these men is this. They were ordinary men, just like you and I, and for the ladies Sarah and Rahab are mentioned. They were ordinary men. But number two, as I went through the list and thought about them again, they were people who had failings. They had flaws in their characters. Don't come to the like of Hebrews and say, oh, look at these great men, Abraham, David, Barak, Gideon, oh, they're way up there. I could never attain to what they attained. Listen, they were men of like passions as we are. They were men who had flaws in their character. Abraham lied out of fear about his own wife. Noah, he got drunk. What about even the ones mentioned in our passage in verse 32? Gideon. Gideon was a very fearful man. He even got involved in idolatry for a while. Now you could go through the list here in verse 32 of Barak. Barak was afraid to go to battle, and the Lord sent Deborah, whose name, by the way, means busy bee. And Deborah had to sting him to get him to go up and do something. What about this list? Do you think of the man? Samson. Well, we don't need to go into the immorality in which he got involved. You think of Jephthah. Oh, a bad upbringing. And he would often make rash vows. He had failings. David. Oh, what a great champion of faith. Oh, but yet you know David sinned. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit doesn't record the failings of their character here that we know from the Old Testament stories. But yet, these are men of faith, and they won great victories. That's the point in verse 32. They won great victories through faith. You know, that tells me that's an encouragement this morning, because you and I look at our lives, we're weak, we're ordinary, we often fail, we're flawed in many ways, and yet God can give us the faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you too can receive a good report through faith. So don't be saying this morning, but I failed, and I don't have abilities, and I, forget about that. These men were ordinary men. They're men who had flaws. They're men who failed. But yet God records them as people who had great victories in their lives. Look at how exciting the victories. Verse 33, they subdued kingdoms. In other words, won great battles, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Well, we know who that is, don't we, Daniel? Daniel, you're not allowed to pray to any other god but the king, or you'll be thrown into the lion's den. What did he do? By faith, he kept on praying, and he was thrown into the den of lions, and God gave the lions lockjaw. He shut their mouths. You know, I like to picture Daniel sort of in the, I don't think this actually happened, but sometimes I like to imagine him there with the lions, you know, fluffing one of them up and putting his head on the lion and going to sleep and taking a scroll of the Old Testament and reading between the lions. Sorry about that, Alex. He probably didn't, but there he is in these ferocious lions. And God, what a victory. What a victory. By faith. By faith. And then it goes on to tell us here, the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong. Wax valiant in the flight. Isn't that a wonderful thing in the fight? Wonderful. Of course, we can't help but think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. They were told, you bow down to the idol or you'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. And what did they say? No. What? No. No, we're not going to do it. And they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and you know the story. All the fire did was burn the bonds that held them. And the king looked and he said, did not we cast three men into the fire? But there are four, and one is like unto the Son of God. And they came out and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. Not amazing. They didn't even have the smell of smoke. What a victory. What a victory. My, we could put that on the list. We could put the great escapes. They escaped. We're told about here. Escape the edge of the sword. We all love great escape stories. My, that's been a theme of fiction novels for centuries, how the hero escapes at the last minute. Well, these are true stories, not novels. People escaped. And I love this wonderful verse, out of weakness were made strong. Do you see that in verse 34? You see, these were weak people. Faith enables weak people to be strong. And we are weak. Imagine the great victories of strength. Wax valiant in the flight, or the fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Of course, young people, that's not talking about somebody from outer space. The word alien is simply a term that means somebody from another country, an invader, a foreigner. And they're able to think of the Philistines put away. Verse 35, women received the dead raised to life again. Verse 35, you think of the widow of Zarephath. You think of the woman of Shunem. Their sons were raised to life. Faith. Faith. Faith is the victory. What wonderful victory these stories are. Wonderful. Wonderful. The first group, God enabled ordinary, weak people with flaws to a victory because they had faith in the power of God and were enabled to conquer in the struggles that came into their life. And God can do the same for these Hebrew Christians. And if we have our Bible in our hand this morning and believe it's God's word, God can do the same for you through faith. Missionary to China, Robert Morrison, we saw a plaque to him. We were in Malaysia earlier this year because he had come to Malaysia as well. And there's a plaque there. But Robert Morrison, when he went to China in the 1800s, a critic said to him, "Robert, do you really expect to make an impact on China?" He said, "No, but I expect God to do it." That's what it means through faith. That's what it means through faith. What about William Carey, the cobbler, who sat making the shoes and he put a map of the world and he thought of India and he thought of reaching out, and some of his ministerial colleagues said, "No, that God doesn't need you to go." But he went. And of course he said this, his great motto of his life, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God." That ought to be the motto of our life. Here's this first group. Here's this first group. Pray that God would do that even in our church. Pray that God would do that in your life, in my life, in the situations we find ourselves, that God would give us the faith. Lord, increase our faith, that we may see through thy power. Lord, we believe thy power. Thy power has made the world. You see, these people in this chapter, they believed in the power of God. Do we believe God is powerful? He's almighty. Through faith. Through faith. But look carefully in your Bible at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. My, this is tremendous. This is tremendous. And others were tortured. Did you notice when I read it? Others. It doesn't say they were tortured and then got deliverance. It doesn't say that. You see, the first group, they believed in the power of God and overcame. But there's others here, and the little phrase is repeated in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings. This group, through faith, bowed to the providences of God. Through faith. Through faith, they bowed to the providence of God, and by faith were enabled to continue in suffering. God enabled them to continue in suffering and not to turn back. Remember the theme of the chapter, don't turn back. You see, sometimes God comes with spectacular deliverances. And his people are able to escape, and we love reading those stories. But sometimes God in his providence doesn't come with deliverance, and he allows his people to go through the suffering and the persecution and the trial. And the message is to these Christians, don't recant. You see, they were going through persecution at this time. And you may go through persecution. In verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You think of martyrs and their rack and their pain of their body, and they're told, recant, recant, recant. Deny Christ. No, no. And some of them endured the most awful, awful torture imaginable. But by faith, they bowed to the providence of God, and God gave them grace to continue in their suffering and not to deny their Savior. They did it through faith. They did it through faith. And this group received a good report through faith. Well, which group, the question I asked before the reading, which group has the greater faith? Well, they both received a good report. And in fact, if you look at it closely, you may be tempted to say it's the second group had the greater faith. Who continued on even in spite of no deliverance coming. You see, to be perfectly honest this morning, if I was given a choice which group I wanted to be in, the first group who believed the promises of God and won great victories and escaped, or the second group that bowed to the providence of God and continued in suffering, well, I'll have to be honest, I know which group I would vote to be in. And I think if most of you are honest, I know which group you would vote to be in. I'd like to be in the first group. But they all obtained a good report. And we must bow to the providence of God, his sovereign providence. I think of the Apostle Paul. Think of the times he had the true gift of healing that was there in the early New Testament. And people were healed through his touch by faith. Ah, but you see him there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's crying out to God, Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. I can't bear it. No. Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. I can't stand this. No. Paul wrote, I prayed three times, Lord, and this great man of prayer, the Apostle Paul, Lord, take away the... No. But Paul, my grace will be sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what Paul was able to write? Therefore I glory in infirmities. I glory in infirmities. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, he wrote. It says about this group, they endured some terrible things. It says there, some were sawn asunder in verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Now, this isn't in the Bible as such, but Jewish history would record, Josephus and others, that it is believed in Jewish tradition that the prophet Isaiah was put in a hollow log, and King Manasseh had him ordered to be cut with a saw. Well, I don't know for sure, but that's certainly what Jewish traditional history says. But certainly the Bible says some were sawn asunder. Would you like to be put and sawn with a big cross saw? That's what happened to some Christians. They wandered about in skins. They were slain with a sword. Sheepskins. I think of what happened even when this was written. Do you know, even round about AD 60s and so on, Nero, you've probably heard of him, the one they say fiddled while Rome burned, although whether that's right or not. But certainly this is absolutely true in history. He got Christians, he blamed them for things, and he would pour live tar over them when they were still living and set them on fire like a torch in his garden, while his friends would come and have a barbecue type of thing, the meal in his gardens. They say they killed animals and put the skins of the animals around Christians and they would set wild dogs and wild animals on them. They say that in the circuses, Circus Maximus, on an evil day, Christians would be brought out. They'd be told, do you want to deny Christ? No. Will you light incense and say Caesar is Lord? No. All right, to the lions, Christians to the lions. Many of them died. And that's the people to whom Paul was writing this. Some died. Now, did God not have the power to deliver these people as he did with the first group? Of course, the answer is yes. But he didn't. Why did God not step in to Nero and stop those Christians being put to the lions? Well, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The seed, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But we don't understand all these things. And this is so, so important. Because if we don't get this, you see, it's very, very poor practice to get your theology from Providence. You know, there are Christians even today do that. They get their doctrine from providences. Here's what I mean. There are those health and wealth teachers today, and they say, oh, if you've great faith, you'll never be sick. You'll get this, you'll get that, you'll not be poor anymore. And then when everything goes well, oh, God's really blessing me. Bang. Something happens. Where's God? God doesn't love me. Don't get your doctrine from circumstances. Get your doctrine from the book. Get your doctrine in the clear light, not when the dark times come. Get your doctrine in the light so that you're able to face the dark times. That's what I'm saying. If you judge God by providences, you'll fail. John 11, you know the story, don't you? We're told quite clearly in John chapter 11 that the Savior loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loved them. Loved to go to their house. Spend time with them. He loved them. They were his special friends. When he was here upon earth, the Lord did have special friends. Now, of course, he sought to reach all types of people with the gospel, but the Lord, being human, did have his close friends. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. He loved them. Lazarus gets sick. They send word to the master, come quickly. He doesn't come. When he comes, you know what he says? I'm glad I didn't come. What? Our brother's dead. He didn't come. He didn't answer. He wept. Of course, we know from the story there was something greater. Lazarus was raised. But you can't judge God just by circumstances. You can't judge by circumstances. You see, this group bowed to the providence of God by faith. It takes faith to bow to the providence of God and still trust him. And that's why when you're going through trial, and you probably realize that many times a pastor will turn to Romans chapter 8, especially the last verses. All things work together for good to them that love God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall persecution, and so on and so on? Shall death? No. No. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. That's where you get your doctrine. And what's in the middle of those verses in Romans 8? It brings us to the cross. God spared not his own son. That's where you see the love of God. He's already proved his love at Calvary. But it takes faith to bow to the providence of God. Of course it does. It takes faith to bow. You see, let me put it another way. This second group, we need to have an if not in our doctrine. Let me explain. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. You know what they said? King, we're not bowing down. Our God is able to deliver us. They believed in the power of God. But they also bowed to the providence of God. Because you know what their next words were? But if not, you can read it. Look up Daniel chapter 3. Actually, the words are, and if not. Our king, we're not careful. We don't need to think about this. We're not bowing down. We're not denying the Lord. He has power to deliver us. And if not, we're still not bowing down. If we go into the fire and our bodies are destroyed, that's in God's hands, but we're not bowing down. Think of the leper that the Lord healed. You'll read about it in Matthew 8. A leper came to Christ and he worshipped Christ. And you know what he said? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And that's terrific doctrine. Lord, if you will it, there's the if not. If you will it, I know you can do it. He didn't say, Lord, if you have enough power to cleanse me of leprosy, would you do it? That's not what he prayed. He knew the Lord had power to do it. But he said, Lord, if it's in your sovereign will, be pleased to cleanse me. That takes faith to pray like that. That takes faith to pray like that. Now, there's so many examples. I have to watch the time. What about King Herod? He got James the apostle and he put him to death. He saw what pleased the people, so he went and he got Peter. I'm going to put him to death too. The Lord miraculously delivered Peter out of the prison. Did Peter love James more than he loved Peter? We don't understand. What about Bob McAllister? I'm sure many of you watched the documentary on television not a few weeks ago on his life. Bob's still alive. He used to attend regularly the church in Armagh when I was there. Bob, when he was lined up by the Simba rebels to be killed back in the 1960s, and the rebels fired their guns, he dropped to the ground as if he was shot, and he lay still, but the bullets missed him. They just grazed him. But yet his colleague in the missionary work beside him was riddled with bullets and he died. Why? We don't know. That's why there has to be an if not. I looked this up as I remember reading it and I found the source. Many of you are familiar with a little daily reading book, The Daily Bread. Do you know quite a number of years ago they carried in their daily reading about a preacher who was on his way to catch flight 191 out of Chicago, and he had a flat tire and was delayed, and he was so disappointed he missed the plane. And that flight 191 crashed, killing all 254 people aboard. And they had a little write-up saying, my, isn't God's providence wonderful? Our pastor was delivered. He escaped death by missing the plane. Do you know they carried one, all credit to them for this, some months later? Because someone wrote in and they said, you know, our pastor, Pastor Elliott's a godly pastor. He's from an Orthodox Presbyterian church. And you know, his last sight from some of his Christian friends who brought him to Chicago Airport were that he was running to catch the plane. And he ran and he caught the plane and he died. And his wife gave testimony at the funeral and afterwards of how God gave grace and strength. And we want to thank God that the last sight we had of our pastor, he was running to heaven. I can't explain it. I remember, as I'll move on this last illustration, there's so many come into my mind. I remember I had a neighbour when we lived in Carrickfergus who was very foolishly went into all kinds of this supposed healing. I remember one day he said, we're going round to an older lady because we laid hands on her last week and she's improving a bit. We're going back to lay hands on her again. I said, that's strange in the Bible when Christ put his hand, they were healed immediately. They didn't need a second laying on that. But anyway, that was one day. I remember telling him the story of Johnny. You know, the lady that dived into the water, she's still alive. You know the story well. Quadriplegic. How people came and said, if only you had faith and get up out of the wheelchair and so on. I remember saying to the neighbour, you know, that lady has had a wonderful testimony. You know what he said to me? Oh, not at all, Ron, not at all. If only she had enough faith, she should stand up out of that wheelchair and be a testimony. What nonsense. What people that lady has reached still alive, still testifying for the grace the Lord's given her as a quadriplegic. What I'm saying is here, back to our text in verse 39, these all received a good report. They obtained a good report through faith. The first group, through faith in the power of God, yes, they conquered in the struggle. But there's a second group, through faith in the providence of God, were continued to suffer, and God gave them both the grace. But here's my last point. Look at the rest of the text. Very interesting. Through faith, receive not the promise. Receive not the promise. Now, this is a very interesting verse. It says they received not the promise. Go back to verse 17 a moment. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises. Now wait a minute, our text says they didn't receive the promises. This verse says they did receive the promise. What does it mean? What does it mean? And go back to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, what does that mean then when you go to our text of Scripture in verse 39? They didn't receive the promise. And I just read to you in verse 17, they did receive them. And then verse 13, they didn't receive them. Now, did they receive them or did they not? Yes. Here's the explanation. Abraham and these others, they received the promise by faith that Christ was coming. They lived before Calvary. And these men and women did what they did because they believed God was going to send a Redeemer who would die for their sins. And one day would bring them to heaven. And Abraham, there he is, God gave him a promise that one of his descendants would be the Redeemer. And Abraham believed, and that's why he could go ahead in his mind to sacrifice Isaac, because he believed God would raise Isaac from the dead. He had to, because didn't God promise me one of my descendants would be the Redeemer? Oh, they believed in the coming Christ. But in our text in verse 39, they didn't receive the promise. There it means they didn't receive the fulfillment. Oh, they received the promise and they believed the promise, but they didn't receive the fulfillment yet because Christ hadn't come in their lifetime. That's what it means. And you know, you and I have something better. Because we know that the Redeemer has come. He has died. He has risen. He is alive. But you know, as we sit in this meeting this morning, there's a sense in which we have not yet received the promise. Now, we've received Christ as our Savior. We know He's come. But we have not received the full blessings of salvation yet. No, we haven't. We haven't received the full blessings of salvation. Because we have not received the full resurrection. Look at the end of verse 35. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There was two ladies we mentioned received their sons back from the dead. Raised. But you know, they died again. That was only a physical resurrection for time being. We have a better resurrection awaiting us. We haven't got it yet, but we're waiting it just as they waited it. One day, we know, as these men and women in Hebrews 11 knew, one day, no matter what happens in this life, that's why Christ said, fear not them that kill the body. Not able to destroy both soul and body in hell. One day, every child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have a better resurrection. Not the resurrection that Lazarus had, or these two lads in the Old Testament. We'll have the resurrection to life. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And we'll have a new body like unto His glorious body. And we'll have no more pain and no more sorrow and no more sin. And we'll be forever with the Lord. And of course the promise, don't miss this, the promise is Christ. Oh yes, there's a resurrection, there's eternity. But don't miss this, the promise is Christ. Christ. We have Him as our Savior, but we don't have all the benefits that having Him will bring to us one day. But the whole crux of the matter is to have faith you must have Christ. You must know Christ as your Savior. Of course, to have Him as your Savior, you need to have faith in Him. Trust Him as the one who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Trust Him as the one who died on the cross to take away sin. Trust Him as the one who's risen from the dead to be a Prince and a Savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Come and trust Him. But you see, the promise of everything, the bedrock of the promise of those who overcame, was they were trusting in the coming Savior. The faith that enabled the second group to continue through their suffering, it was faith in the Savior. Do you have faith in the Savior this morning? Do you really know Him as your Savior and Lord? Are you trusting Him? Is that where your hopes rest? In Christ. In Christ. And when things seem to fail, and things seem to go wrong, and we're shaken, and we will be shaken, we look to Christ and say, Christ will never fail. And He does love me. He's proved it. He died for me. He's living for me. He's praying for me. He's coming for me one day. I'll trust Him and rest in Him. Let's turn, please, to 221. 221. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Now, of course, this speaks of in the gospel, but yet it does have application to all of us because He came to give us those wonderful blessings. 221. Over the page, verse 2, for Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Let's sing verse 2, 3, and 4. Verse 2, 3, and 4. Let's stand. Verse 2.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, His blessings to restore. I'm sorry to the prison floor that washes white as snow.
Father in heaven, we realize more this morning what it means that it doesn't matter what we have in this world, physically, materially, in any way, if we don't have Christ, we have nothing. We're headed for destruction. And yet if we have Christ, no matter what else happens, we have everything in Him. Oh Lord, impress that truth upon us. Lord, for those we know of who are going through deep, dark times, oh, Father, enable them to realize that they're thy children and thou dost love them. Enable them, Lord, to have faith in thee. Lord, show them the Savior shedding his blood upon Calvary. And Lord, be with them. Separate us now with thy fear and thy blessing, resting, remaining, abiding upon us until our Savior comes or calls. Amen.